In the precious name of Jesus, who is our light, our life, and our joy. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. I would invite you to turn to our text in your Bibles. If you brought your own Bible, that's wonderful. If not, please use one of the pew Bibles to turn to our reading from Luke chapter 12. If you're a visitor with us tonight and do not have a Bible at home, we encourage you to take one of the pew Bibles as our gift to you so that you can read and study God's precious word. This reading from Luke chapter 12 might seem very much different than what we're used to picturing Jesus. I think that most people, when they think of Jesus, whether they know him well or not, think of Jesus as the Prince of Peace. Actually, isn't that what Isaiah says? That he's the wonderful counselor, the mighty God. He's the Prince of Peace. On that Judean night, long ago when Jesus was born, wasn't that the message of the angels? Peace. Peace from God. Peace among people and peace with God because Jesus the Savior was born. Isn't that what Jesus said to his own disciples? Remember, they were afraid, locked away because of what was going on around them outside. And Jesus came to them, and the first thing he said to them was, "Peace. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, give I unto you, but my peace." That's not what Jesus is saying in our text for this evening. If you look at Luke chapter 12, and again, if you have your Bibles open, look to the first part of Luke chapter 12. In Luke chapter 12, he speaks harsh words to the scribes and Pharisees, the false teachers, the hypocrites. And then he goes on and speaks the parable of the rich fool. I preached about that just several weeks ago. How we should watch carefully and use carefully what we have in this world with an eye to the future, with an eye ultimately to eternal life. Jesus goes on and talks with them about not being worried about this life because God will care for them, those who are his followers, those who believe in him. And then finally, just before our text for tonight, he talks with them about being watchful. Be ready, because the day is coming when this world will end. Either your life will end, and you'll be called home to heaven, or at least called out of this world, or the day will come when all the world will end, and you will stand before the judgment seat of God. It's in that context, then, that our text follows for tonight, with verses 49 and following. Jesus does not speak here as the bringer of peace, but what he says is, "I'm the bringer of fire." And what he means by that is, "I'm the bringer of judgment." We as Lutherans always talk about law and gospel. Gospel is that part of peace about which Jesus speaks, but the peace that he brings between God and man through his death and resurrection. And there's that other part of who God is, a just God, a God who loves righteousness, a God who calls us to holiness, a God who calls us not to step over the line into sin and death and the power of the devil. Jesus says, "I wish the time were here because I bring fire, fire that cleanses." You know, that's one of the things that a forest fire does. A forest fire cleanses that forest, and sometimes it allows seeds and those things to break open for new life that wouldn't have been had it not been for that terrible fire. That's the picture here. He comes to bring fire, a fire that will destroy sin and the power of the devil, a fire that's a cleansing fire. "And how I wish it were time," he said, "for that fire to be cleansed or to be kindled and do its job." But he said, first, before that, "I must undergo baptism." Now, the baptism he was speaking about was not this baptism and not the one that we celebrated a moment ago. It's not Carson's baptism, the baptism by water, but in a way of saying, you could say it's a baptism of fire. What Jesus said is, I wish this time were here. My soul, my whole being, my ministry is waiting for and urged by and needing this to take place, this baptism. So if not the water baptism we saw tonight, what did Jesus mean? Well, he was talking about taking the cup of suffering. He knew that he had a baptism to undergo, and that that baptism was a baptism of suffering. Remember in Matthew chapter 20, where James and John, the sons of Zebedee, their mom came to Jesus and said, Jesus, could you let my boys sit at your left and your right in the kingdom? What Jesus said is, you didn't know what you're asking. Are you able to take the cup that I will take? What cup? It's the cup of suffering. Are you ready? They didn't know what they were saying. And Jesus said, yes, you will suffer. But it's not for me to give who will sit on one side or the other. You might remember in Luke chapter 24 that Jesus prayed in the garden. And there as he prayed in the garden, before he gave his life on the cross, he said to his Father in heaven, Father, if you will, you can remove this cup, this suffering from me, but not my will, your will be done. And then what he did was to take that cup of suffering, which is the cross, which is the persecution that those who brought against him, his enemies, they spit at him, they laughed at him, they mocked him, they beat him, and finally they hung him to die on the cross. That's what Jesus is referring to tonight in our text. I have a baptism to undergo, and how I wish it were already here, so the cleansing fire of God's judgment would come, so that sin and death and the power of the devil would be dealt with, that new life could spring forth, your life and mine. I believe, as I said to the children a moment ago, that Jesus is the one that draws a line in the sand. Jesus puts before us the choice. As we sang earlier in the service, our lives we want dedicated to our Lord Jesus Christ. And in a sense, he asks us tonight to choose. Choose. Will you follow him? Will you be a Christian in name only? Will it look like it, but are you not really dedicated to it? Are you all in, if you will? Are you willing to step over this line to commit to following the Lord Jesus Christ in whatever that would mean, and to mean it fully, and to give yourself fully to the Lord Jesus Christ? He is the great dividing line. And he gives that picture in our text for tonight. He says there'll be people who are arguing, one on one side and one on the other side. There are three on one side and two on the other side. And father will be against son and son against father. Mother against daughter and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. There will be a great divide. And the great divide is, what do you believe about Jesus? Are you willing to follow him in all that that takes? Which side are you on? Make up your mind and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. As I mentioned to the children a moment ago, let there be no misunderstanding. We don't by our own reason or strength come to the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's the Holy Spirit who, through water and the Word, works in our hearts and lives. He calls us, he gathers, enlightens, gives us wisdom, he gives us the power and strength to know, to believe, and then to step across the line, to step up and follow him. I just quoted Luther, and it makes me think about Martin Luther, and in his day and time, what difficulties he underwent. You see, the whole of the political sphere was against Luther. The Holy Roman Emperor put out an edict against Luther and called for Luther's death. The political sphere was against him, and the whole church was against him. The Pope, the papacy, and all that it represented stood strongly opposed to Martin Luther. Luther had one thing to believe. one thing to trust in, and that's the Word of Scripture. In this Word of Scripture and the Jesus that it brought to Luther, Luther had all that he needed. Here I stand. God help me. I can do no other. Brothers and sisters, we're not persecuted like Luther was, and yet in our day and time, there's so much that stands against making a decision to follow Jesus as the Spirit works that faith within us. You see, I believe that like Jeremiah said in our Old Testament text, there are false prophets. There are false churches today. There are false churches in our community who would say, believe what you want. Do what you want. God is love, so how could he stand against this or that or this lifestyle or that belief? There are false teachers who will say anything itching ears want to hear. But we stand on God's word. There are persecutions that we face also, I believe, from our government and from the Supreme Court. The ludicrous decisions that have been made recently that stand against the clear teaching of God's word. My hope and literally my prayer is that someday those false decisions, those bad decisions, will be turned around like other bad decisions of the Supreme Court in the past have been. That needs to be our prayer, our work in the political sphere, and as we believe and pray and live for our Lord Jesus Christ. There are false churches and teachings. There are false beliefs in our community and world, and so much these days seems to go by opinion polls. You know, it's folks that stick their finger in the wind and see which way the wind is blowing and say, well, that's the way I will lead. That's the way I will follow. That's what I'll do. That's not what Luther did, and that's not what God, that's not what Jesus calls you or me to do. He calls us to stand up, to step across the line, to step up and step forward for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Spirit that does that work within us, and yet, and in addition, God calls us to make a decision. Isn't that what Joshua did? If you wonder, if you doubt me, look at Joshua chapter 24 tonight, later on. Joshua said to the people of Israel, what you decide, which God you follow, will be up to you. But for me and for my household, we choose to follow God. Jesus is the great dividing line. He calls us to step up, to step forward, to make the decision with all we are and all we have to follow him, no matter what opposition there may be. Jesus said to his first hearers, you know, when you see a cloud in the west, you're smart enough to know that the wind is going to bring it this way and rain is coming. He says, when you feel that hot breeze from the south, you know it's going to warm up. You're smart enough to know, to recognize the signs of the seasons, the signs of the time. Be that wise with spiritual things. Look, pay attention, look at the season. And I couldn't help but think of this as an illustration. As we see one season and we see the next, we know whether it's springtime or summer, winter or harvest. It's obvious to us. And what Jesus says in our text is be that wise with the present age, with the time. Look, listen, see where you live, see what's around you, and let Jesus be the dividing line. Step to him because he's stepped to you. He gave himself for you so that you might have life and joy in this world, and through faith in him, life forevermore. Jesus is the great divide. As for you, I don't know what you will decide, but as for me and my household, we will follow the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever that means, wherever that leads. May God give you that determination, that strength, that confidence, and that peace also. For Jesus' sake, let it be so. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Jesus, the great dividing line. Amen.